The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello and welcome everybody to this second day of the Senior Bowl, where Quentin Crisco and I are building the board as we wrap up day two of the Senior Bowl here in Mobile, Alabama. Quentin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Robert. Just glad that it's a little more cloudy today, a little less sun, a little less exhausting, a little less red. Hoping to be a little less red tomorrow. I think that's how sunburn works, but I'm doing good.
And I agree. I mean, tomorrow's supposed to be rainy, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Today was a beautiful day of football, and I like to think we got to see some things that we really needed to, each of us. I mean, we can go back and forth talking through players. I want this to just be as casual and like two scouts in a room as it can be, but I know I'll go ahead and lead off. Jaden Reed, the Michigan State wide receiver, has been phenomenal, Quentin. I mean, he looks borderline uncoverable. If you're looking for one specific trait that defines his game, it's what we would call foot frequency. So that's envision when any receiver, whether it's Darnell Mooney or Chase Claypool, is running a route, how many steps do they take as they run, just naturally speaking. To use a good example, Tariq Cohen had really great foot frequency compared to Jordan Howard. You know what I mean, Quentin? Yeah. And Jaden Reed isn't particularly he's not the fastest receiver in his class, but he might have some of the fastest feet. And that's meant that both on press release jams, anything downfield, anything short, he's moving so quick in and out of his breaks that receivers or DBs are really having trouble keeping up with him. I also feel like Stanford receiver Michael Wilson, the 6'3", or I think it's 6'2", 215 receiver that you've heard me talk about way too often when the mic isn't hot, he had a phenomenal day himself. It felt like he smoothed things out from day one to day two. Probably, I would say, the most improved player, maybe between both practices, though. You watch offensive line. I guess I'm not sure, but he looked like he smoothed things out with the receivers coach, that he didn't fight through contact near as much as he did, that he just blasted past contact, and that he had a great day separating. And I mean, he's a big body as is. He's got he's a hands catcher. He's sudden in his movements. There's so much to like with him in particular. I feel like a couple other players I guess we ought to mention while we're on the topic of these national team receivers before I kick it over to you. I think that Grant DuBose out of UNC Charlotte has some game in him. He's going to have to refine himself a little bit. Somebody that I'm leaving with more questions than answers, but in this case, that's a good thing because I originally thought he was just nobody in particular to pay attention to, right? And then I can't help but think that on the CB side, Riley Moss is hanging in there, and he's one of the only CBs that really is, but Caillou Blue Kelly is standing out in that group. He had a pick in the team period. He had almost another pick also in the team period, and in one-on-ones, he was the only one who was really able to challenge the corners. The corners on the national team have not been great. I don't know what's going on from a coaching perspective. It could be all kinds of things, though it does feel like the talent is a little more skewed on the American team, but that was at least what I know I saw on the first practice from the wide receivers and the DBs. What did you see on the offensive line?
On the offensive line for the national team, the first guy that really stands out to me is Notre Dame center / guard, however you want to view him, Jarrett Patterson. I view him as a center. I think when I watched his tape, he was much cleaner, much better, much more efficient, and much more consistent playing center. He played guard his senior year. Part of that was due to an injury that allowed Notre Dame to say, we have another center that we do like, and rather than play you injured at center where the injury might be affecting you, we can move you to guard where it might affect you less. And Patterson struggled yesterday at guard, but he looked very good to me today at center, which I think does a lot for his stock of saying, this guy can still be a good center, even though he's not a good guard.
Right.
And he might be able to play guard in a pinch, but that's not what we're asking him to do typically. Then next up, North Dakota State offensive tackle Cody Mock. He played a little center today. He played a little tackle today. He played mostly guard yesterday. And he has looked pretty darn good no matter where he is on the field. I do think he is a guy who probably needs to be on the inside. But he's an outstanding athlete. So that's just, you know, pure speculation on my standpoint. Mm-hmm. He has looked good everywhere he's been asked to play this week so far. And that can only help his situation, help his big board ranking. And then we saw DeJuan Jones not play today. Or that's Ohio State offensive tackle DeJuan Jones.
Big Thanos, as he's called on some of the WCG boards.
I think he has a nickname. I'd have to pull out my notes. His nickname is something pretty good too, I think. But he did not play today. I'm not exactly sure why. It did look like he might have gotten nicked up at the end of yesterday's practice, and maybe he just said, you know, minor injuries, I'm just going to cut it off there before it turns into something bigger. I got the combine to worry about, all this other stuff. Or maybe he was fine and just said, I look good today. I don't need to prove anything out here. I'm not going to risk it, which is completely fair. I mean, I don't think he needs to risk it. And then outside of that, looking at offensive line, yeah, you're right. I mean, the talent is much more skewed on the American team. Mm-hmm. Like the national team seems to be a lot more guys who are fighting for mid-round, late-round draft position, while the American team has a lot more guys who are really cemented into the top half of the draft. Or on the defensive line, do you want me to go into that?
Of course.
So Thomas Nkum, or let me see, where's he out of? Let's see. That's Central Michigan defensive lineman, Thomas Nkum.
All right.
He flashed some today. And I didn't notice him yesterday, but he just found his way to make some plays. They seemed like he was slippery, tough for blockers to get a grip on, and was a little bit explosive. And like I said, I didn't notice him much yesterday. And part of the reason I started noticing him, I think, was because I was getting number 6, which is Georgia Tech edge, Keon White, and number 8, which is Thomas Nkum, Central Michigan defensive lineman Thomas Nkum, mixed up. It was like 6-8. 6 kind of looks like 8.
The type looks really similar on these jerseys. Yeah. And half these kids, like you just mentioned, are wearing their pads tucked, like the jersey tucked up. So you just have to – you kind of have to visually identify him. And if you identify him wrong, you spend the whole day thinking you're watching somebody else.
Well, yeah. I thought he was explosive, strong, athletic. Keon White at a few points because he looked like he might have been. And that is something that is worth exploring because that is a very talented player, Keon White. And then next up here on the defensive line, I got Northwestern edge, and I'm going to just mispronounce this name terribly, but it's Adebawore Adetamawa. And this is a player who I was not very impressed with coming down. I thought he's big, he's strong, he has a great motor, like, you know, all effort all the time, just blue collar player. But I just did not think that he had, one, the athletic difference making traits that you look for. I mean, he's strong and he can hold an edge, but that seemed like it would be his, he'd be limited to that role only. And he was just very unrefined, I thought, with his hands, with his feet, overactive. Mm-hmm. A lot of moments where it felt like he was just setting up for 3 seconds, dancing around in front of the blocker and not getting anywhere.
Right.
And through the first 2 days, I did notice he cut down a lot of the hand, a lot of the feet action he was doing, and he was just attacking, which was an improvement alone. But today, he made a few plays that made me say, you know, maybe I was a little too hard on him. Maybe there is more there that just needs to be refined.
That's huge. I mean, especially when you can find athletes on the interior defensive line against some of these guys, like you're talking about. I mean, the American team is absolutely juiced, but people refining themselves and helping us answer some of the core questions that we have about these players is a huge part of why we're here at the Senior Bowl. Another player to just skim off of exactly what you're saying, DeMarvion Overshown, is a raw athlete, long, athletic linebacker. I mean, we're talking about a 6'2", 220-pound linebacker with extraordinarily long arms. Not quite DeJuan Jones, but certainly somebody that might appeal to Matt Eberflus, depending on what happens. And he is blending in just fine in terms of his coverage ability. I feel like if there's one player I would have loved to see on a second day, would have been Puka Nacua, who ended up not playing due to injury. It's a darn shame he did, because he had a really solid game yesterday. I feel like I can't go a podcast without talking about Payne Durham, who I was even able to catch up with later. For any Bears fans that don't know Payne Durham and need an extra reason to pay attention to him, he said that he modeled his game after Mike Allstott in an interview that I had with him, where growing up watching Allstott taught him that, and I quote, "You don't have to go down if you don't want to." And I love the energy I get from him.
When you got tree trunks for legs, you don't have to go down.
No, you don't. And I mean, going back to some of his tape from 2022, there were times when he'd drag a pile as far as 17 yards extra downfield. I thought Davis Allen out of Clemson had some really solid moments. He's not a player I've scouted yet. So it's nice to see the occasional player show up in a position group that you're like, hey, I wasn't paying any attention to you, but good on you. I feel like one thing that I didn't mention earlier, I did want to circle back to, both Michael Wilson and Jaden Reed, though I like them, are players that I think I came into this with questions about, right? Was Jaden fast enough to succeed against good corners? Like, Caillou Blue Kelly, who had a really solid day, but even Mekki Blackmon, who came in from USC. They've got some guys who can play. And the fact that Jaden Reed hasn't just looked like he fits in, but he's looked nigh uncoverable, might just push him up the board into maybe the top 60 players. And then Michael Wilson, he had the speed, he had the physical gifts, he didn't really have the production. And we hadn't, and especially like against top tier corners, he just didn't look ready for the moment. And so seeing him start to play like this, I can't wait to see what he does against the national team in the actual game itself. There are some sweet matchups to be had here. Anybody else that you feel like moved around on your board in the national team you want to quickly go through?
Yeah. So let's see here. Guys who really showed out differently than yesterday, probably be Ryan Hayes. Showed a little more. I felt like Ryan Hayes struggled some yesterday. And not that he didn't struggle today, but he just had a few more of those dominant reps, I felt like, that he lives on. Mm-hmm. You know, that he is a big, strong gap scheme power blocker.
Mm-hmm.
And when he doesn't have as many of those powerful, explosive blocks, you're saying, I don't know if this guy's very good, right? But when he has him, you go, oh, wow, that guy looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I felt like he showed out a little better today, especially in one-on-ones. Then
how far up your board does that move him? Because I know he's not somebody you've gotten.
For the Bears specifically, probably not a ton. But, I mean, there was that one point where I kind of hoped that he might be able to move into guard, but he just doesn't have the movement traits for it. So for the Bears specifically, not a ton, but for someone out there, probably a fair amount. Probably, like, I mean, you know, you go from looking at him as a fourth or fifth round pick to maybe he's a guy who's worth reaching in the third or earlier in the fourth as opposed to the fifth or late fourth.
His biggest, it might be. It feels like Ryan Hayes' biggest issue in terms of just making himself money through the draft has nothing to do with him. I mean, I'm ready to segue whenever you are because the American team is so loaded with tackle talent. I find myself wondering, how far down the board does Ryan fall purely on account of positional availability?
I mean, it's certainly possible. I haven't even watched all the offensive tackles in this class yet. I started focusing on the Senior Bowl guys. And then said, "I'll get the rest of those guys later." So, it's hard to say exactly where that you might be on the board right now. But that's just based on who I have watched. I would think he'd land somewhere in there, but it's probably going to be pushed out a little more from what I'm saying right now, just based on numbers. Hang on, there's one more, and how could I forget him? North Dakota State offensive tackle Cody Mock, who is, you know, everyone's favorite kid around the corner.
Beast.
You know, missing teeth and missing his front two teeth with the long flowing hair and tight end speed. He's a freak athlete. He's versatile. We know he's versatile because today they put him at center.
Okay.
And I don't think he'd ever played center before. I heard, I think it was Brugler was doing the podcast next to me as I was as I was cleaning up my draft notes after today. And I think I heard him mention that he's never played center. They asked him if he wanted to play center. He said, yeah. I mean, I think if they asked him if he wanted to play punter, he'd say, yeah. He's just a gamer. He wants to go out and play whatever he can. And so now we have seen him. He also took offensive tackle reps today. We've seen him take center, guard, tackle reps, and really look serviceable if in a negative light, or if you're taking a positive light, look really good. I say he looked good everywhere. I mean, in my opinion, it was beyond serviceable. He's looked good everywhere he's had to be. Not to say there isn't some pass protection that can be cleaned up, but that versatility matters so much for these guys, and that's something that, you know, he's probably projected, second round pick?
Probably.
Like that's probably about where, somewhere around 50. And that type of versatility can move you up into the high 30s, you know, into the start of the second round, because teams are saying, you know, we have questions at our O-line, like Cody Whitehair might be able to stay healthy, or, you know, maybe Larry Borm figures it out, right tackle. And we could really use a guy at center, though. We still have Sam Mustipher, who we don't, really want to be starting there, but he can. And to have that availability with Cody Mock of saying, we can put him at center, or we can put him at right tackle, or we can put him at left guard, or, you know, anywhere on the O-line is huge to any team.
Oh, I mean, especially for a team like the Bears, who I know Jason Kelsey's not a perfect fit, but that kind of outrageous lower body athlete. I mean, if somebody took Mock under their wing and taught him how to play center at a decent level, you're talking about a player that could play guard in the Bears scheme that on plays like GT counter, which sounds like what it is, right? That's guard, tackle, counter. So that means the guard and the tackle pulls. You'd be able to plow Cody Mock straight through the hole with a lot of velocity, not just to knock the snot out of whoever's standing in there, but to get to the second level and potentially beat linebackers to the punch in plays like that. They run a lot of G lead. They pull their guards a lot. Yeah. So a player like Mock is absolutely something I have to imagine the Bears have their eyes on.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I mean, the movement traits are undeniable. Like you said, the lower body power's there. He's going to be higher on their board.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside real fast for the sponsors to get their word in, and then we'll be right back to talk through the American team. Stay tuned.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And we are back with Building the Board. I am Robert Schmitz, your host for this episode, talking with Quentin Crisco, our wonderful offensive line expert. And Quentin, now we're talking about the American team. So the 2 p.m. practice run by Luke Getsy and the Bears, where I guess I ought to mention, it felt as if the first practice to me, Quentin, had somebody with the league step in because they had a PA announcer announcing what every piece of practice was. Look, I don't know, but it felt a little bit handholdy, whereas Luke Getsy's practices have seemed to run pretty smoothly start to finish and showcase their players a little bit better, which has certainly helped make these players, I think, look maybe a bit stronger artificially because we're able to see these contentious battles. It goes understated how much it makes a difference that on the national team, guys, we're only getting max 2 reps of some of these guys that we're watching, whereas in the American team, I mean, Q, for every 2 reps you get on the national, we're probably getting, what, 4 or 5 on the American? They're just burning through practice.
I mean, so I'm trying to track pluses and minuses for reps for these guys. You know, I mean, when you're talking 9-on-7 or full team, I'm not trying to get every guy. I'm trying to get guys that I see make a difference, like maybe one guy per play. Mm-hmm. And so there's some plays where I don't have any marks. But for the most part, I'm trying to get every one-on-one and any impact moments that I think really made a play. And for most of the guys on the national team, you know, I'm talking 5-6 plays per guy, and at least 2 to 4 of those are one-on-ones.
Mm-hmm.
For the American team, I mean, I'm talking 12 to 14 plays.
It's per huge.
Guy. It's a big difference.
It's a huge difference. I mean, especially when you're talking about players like these, you want to see them compete against their peers. And thankfully, they're getting a great chance to, which is why we're seeing some guys really cement themselves. I mean, it's not a stretch to say – it feels weird to say Tyreek Stevenson is moving up my board, right? Because I had like a very, very vague second round slash high grade on Tyreek Stevenson. But I mean, the guy's cementing himself as what looks like a surefire first rounder out there. Julius Brents is flashing some serious ability. I think Rejon Wright belongs. He's awfully old, but when you're talking about a guy that, let me get his specific weight here. So we're talking about a 6'2", 196 corner with really long arms. Not quite Julius Brents, but there's a reason that he may go in the fourth round as opposed to Brents going in, say, the second round. But even so, he could still be a perfectly serviceable corner for the length of his first contract. I feel like, Q, the receivers in the second group, it's not that they're not as good. It's that the corners are better, but also the receivers are standing out a bit less than Jaden Reed or Michael Wilson were. We got a great bounce back performance from Iowa State's receiver Xavier Hutchinson. And we also got a great one from Jonathan Mingo, the Mississippi receiver. I feel like I'm amazed to say it, but Nathaniel Dell out of Houston, the receiver, still looked quite good. I mean, this is a theater for shorter guys, just like Calvin Austin did yesterday, to really flash that mobility out at practice and make an impact that maybe they can't make in quote-unquote real football. But hey, credit where credit's due. The guy is playing. And I feel like, okay, so Dontavion Wicks looks solid, but I don't know if he's really moving much in my board because, Q, it doesn't feel to me like number one is standing out for better or for worse. And that's okay. He was a late round guy all the same, but he's not flashing the hand ability that Xavier Hutchinson has. He's not flashing the poker playing, like route running mentality that I think we see from Jonathan Mingo. And he's certainly not flashing the speed on the seams that we're even seeing from Will Mallory, from Luke Musgrave, and from a tight end group that has been a lot of fun to watch. I spent a little more time watching them. And I already had pretty high grades on a lot of these guys, but Luke Musgrave is beginning to race his way high, high up the board. Not because I necessarily think the Bears need him. I mean, there could easily be a Kmet extension that basically wipes tight end off our draft board altogether. I mean, there's a chance, right? But as far as draft grades go, it's hard to play as quick and fast as Luke Musgrave does. So a big question will be how he's dealing with that knee injury. But I thought a lot of these corners, one more that I'll mention before I pass the buck, Darius Rush out of South Carolina had himself quite a good day after a good day or a good day yesterday too. He's way better at route matching than I think I gave him credit for in off man. He's a big old guy at 6'1.5", 196, so pretty much the same size as Rezjon Wright, but his feet are dramatically faster and he's not as handsy, meaning that when he does engage his hands, he makes a little bit more efficient use of them. And that's something that I don't think I gave him enough credit for when I watch his South Carolina tape and want to circle back and see if I can't watch more. Chris Smith, the DB, out of Georgia, has had himself quite a nice couple of practices, but let's be honest, this is just not a great theater for safety, running back, and in some cases, linebacker. But is there anybody that I've missed or anybody that you would want to know about before we dig into the offensive line?
Payne Durham.
Oh, well, he was on the national team.
Oh, you already talked. Okay. Sorry, I got that mixed up.
No worries.
Get a lot of players' names flying around.
Yeah, we're talking about like almost, what is this, 120 players to track over 2 days? It's all over the place.
Yeah. I can jump into my guys. I starting off on the D-line, I mean, I think Will McDowell might be the best player on the field this week.
That's wild.
And, I mean, I loved his tape. I was high on him, but I did not expect what I have seen here. I mean, he in one-on-ones, they were the way that the national team was, or was this American? The way the American team was doing their one-on-ones with O-line, D-line was Will McDowell lines up across from Darnell Wright, go. All right, that's done. Will McDowell line up across from Darnell Wright again, go. So it's just boom, boom, 1-2. So Will McDowell wins the first rep pretty well. Like, not many people beat Darnell Wright like that. And so I'm sitting there expecting, like, Darnell Wright's going to he's gonna choke slam him this time. He does it again in a different way.
There's a sweet spin move, too.
Yeah. Like, you don't see Darnell Wright get beat like that very much. It just happened 2 reps in a row. And then as the practice went on, he was taking it to Matt Bergeron. He was taking it to Wanya Morris. At this point, he has beaten the three best offensive tackles at the Senior Bowl are all in one practice. That is impressive stuff. And I can't be I can't just be seeing this in my own head. Everyone out there has to be seeing it. He's pushing himself into easy first round consideration.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with Will McDonald, it seems like it's literally just a question of how's he going to hold up in the run game.
Yeah.
And that's something that, I mean, I don't want to take your thunder away.
Well, I guess I should say, for the Bears board, not easy first round consideration.
No.
For a 3-4 team, for a team that's going to want that stand-up rush linebacker, easy.
Well, I mean, to use an example, if he can play the run pretty much at all, like, and he falls into the mid-second or especially the late second round, like, you could, if you're the Bears, really consider taking him just as a pass rush specialist, because you can never have enough pass rush in this league. But, like you're talking about, when people talk about scheme and how much it affects the board, I feel like it's not as drastic as sometimes we make it sound like. It's not like, oh, well, we're just going to have to wipe all our tight ends off the board. I was obviously being hyperbolic earlier.
Yeah.
It's more to say that it pushes them down just enough that somebody else will find the value before you will.
Yeah. I mean, there are going to be teams who are going to value this guy's first round. And if he's there at 31, 32, someone's going to take him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know who has those picks, but so, like, he's not going to be sitting there in the second round, I don't think, after what he's shown this weekend.
I mean, we're talking about it's the Eagles and the Chiefs, right? 31-32,
and then 32 is Pittsburgh. Would be the winner of the Super Bowl, and 32 is
Pittsburgh. Rip.
Yeah.
It's the Claypool trade.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, I bet you it would be great in Pittsburgh.
I bet he would be great in Pittsburgh.
And he did struggle a little bit with the run today. There was a play where he just got blown out of a run lane and went for a big gain, but his pass rush prowess is real. And then next up, I'm looking at Florida A&M edge rusher and linebacker playing today. He was playing some off-ball linebacker, okay. Isaiah Land. Isaiah Land was a player who, coming into this, turn on the tape, fast, thin, but fast, twitchy, bendy. He is a guy who can be a problem on the edge, but again, probably not a fit for the Bears. I mean, less of a fit than Will McDonald.
Right.
But he just made, I mean, he was just knocking some heads today. Like, just laying the wood, bringing some serious power as playing that stack linebacker type of position and just flying through some run gaps. I mean, maybe if the Bears think he can be a linebacker, he might go up. I think he moved up teams draft boards, but again, maybe not the Bears. And I should probably focus on who moved up the Bears board. Cameron Young is a guy who I think probably moved up the Bears board today a fair amount, because he's a guy who Mississippi State defensive tackle Cameron Young. He just had a good day. He was winning in one-on-ones more than he had the previous day. And he made a few splash plays in 9-on-7 and in the scrimmage that showed his power, showed his run-stopping prowess, and showed his ability to shoot gaps a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you somebody else who I feel like may very well have moved up the Bears board is offensive tackle Wanya Morris. It's going to be tough to get a tackle. I mean, look, the Bears could probably draft – they could have 10 picks in the first 50 players, and they could still have more picks to make. Yeah. In terms of the needs that they've got on their roster, at least in a pre-free agency sense. But we don't know what they're going to do at center. We don't know what they're going to do at tackle. Maybe they sign a Caleb McGarry. Maybe they sign an Ethan Pochich, McGarry being the Atlanta right tackle, Pochich being the Browns center. But if they don't, then a guy like Wanya Morris, he's light. I mean, he can move. I've seen him flying around, and they played him a little bit at left tackle today.
Yeah, they played him at left tackle, which is a position that he struggled with in the past in his time at Tennessee. And today he showed some of that versatility and that some of that was behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really didn't break out of his struggles from Tennessee until this past year when he was playing right tackle at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like a new player at Oklahoma. And he did get beat by Will McDonald today while he was playing left tackle, but who didn't?
Right.
So Wanya Morris is definitely a guy who I think would move up the Bears board. I mean, I'm struggling to see how he makes it out of the second round with how he's playing right now.
Well, I mean, I guess it would all be based on past tape, right? Because that'll weigh guys down more than it should. Here's a question, because Foskey, he's on the American team, right?
Yes.
How did he play today? He's somebody that I've got my eye on for a Bears defensive end, maybe late second, early third round. Do you think he's sticking there, or do you think he's playing too well?
I think he's playing too well to be going that late. I mean, I think he is a probably early second round pick.
That makes sense.
I mean, I think he could be a first round talent in some drafts. I believe he's actually on the national team, unless I'm
missing
it.
You might have been, but
I didn't mention him because he's just been living up to my expectations.
Yeah, that makes sense.
On my board, I think that's where he is and should be.
Right.
Yeah.
You make it sound though like there's a certain man with a familiar last name that is moving up your board, even if he was already incredibly high on everybody else's. I'm talking about John Michael Schmitz.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota center John Michael Schmitz. Today was the – I've been the hater in the room for about 2 months now, and silently. I've tried to keep it quiet because I couldn't get his 2022 tape very much of it, and I didn't want to be that guy who's out there yelling at trees that John Michael Schmitz didn't look good to me. But today he looked good to me. I mean, he was getting the job done in pass protection for the most part, and he was really making some of the run scheme go. And then the real selling point for me was a screen pass where he flew outside, hit his corner that he was supposed to hit, the cornerback, and crushed him.
Oh, my gosh.
And it wasn't it like, I mean, and you know, a 300-pound guy should crush a 190-pound guy.
Right.
But they usually don't. They're usually just kind of, if they're good, they get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
If they're really good, they put him in the dirt. And that's what Michael Schmitz did to him, which is something that can be really intriguing with the type of stuff that the Bears run and with how much their screen. I know, Robert, you talked about this, how much their screen game has struggled over the past.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to be a huge point of the Bears offense, I imagine.
Yeah.
Look, I'm drawing a lot of this from actually how Seattle used to run their offense with Russell Wilson. But it feels to me like with Justin Fields not being amazing at short throws between 0 and 5 yards, that the Bears are trying to use their screen game to really jimmy loose a lot of free yardage, take advantage of deep drops in coverage, and utilize the fact that they feel like they have some playmakers, which... you know, a bit of a misnomer on a team that ended up first overall, but that's a conversation for a different story.
Yeah.
On offensive line, it feels like Tevin Jenkins is decent in open space, but even him, like we're talking about an offensive lineman with back problems. And so
he's looked stiff since they started.
He really has. And he just suffered a pretty major neck injury.
Yeah.
So whether it's replacing Sam Mustipher, which, you know, I said it all last season, so I hope it happens this season and we finally get away from starting him. But whether it's Lucas Patrick, whether it's John Michael Schmitz, somebody who's able to take the snap, let somebody through, get out into space, and make sure that whether it's Khalil Herbert, Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, whoever the Bears have toting the pill, that they're able to make headway with those screens, I feel like that's going to be really core to them.
Yeah.
Also, like you're talking about, I feel like John Michael Schmitz, his feet seem pretty incredible. I mean, compared to – it's nothing against Jarrett Patterson, but to use Jarrett Patterson as an example, he's more of a standout pass protector at center that can open a gap here and there, but he's not going to reach the five tech,
yeah.
Right? But John Michael Schmitz can, and yeah. Not many can. It's like in simplest terms, if I said budget Tyler Linderbaum, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where it's not – we're not talking Kirkland. Or Linderbaum, he's pretty good, but this is the Walmart version. This is the the Target version, maybe, of the brand name that is Tyler Linderbaum. Where there's a lot of things he can do for your run game that make you live with pass game trouble for a guy who's usually the help man in for a rush.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that.
It feels to me like the American practice today was incredibly contentious. And like we kind of talked about yesterday, I'm still hoping that some of these guys play their way into being a player that the Bears could utilize. I'll tell you, Michael Wilson has me legitimately intrigued because the Bears, if I had to guess, if we assigned a confidence confidence value to every Bears receiver, I imagine they're very confident in Darnell Mooney. I imagine they're relatively unconfident in Chase Claypool. And I imagine they'll be relatively confident in whatever free agent they bring in, meaning that whoever they add might need to be, like, whether it's the free agent or whether it is a draft pick, you got to think that they'll need to be able to play that X spot in some capacity, right, Q?
Yeah.
Because if Chase Claypool's a complete bust, then you're out of luck.
Yeah.
And so with Michael Wilson being as big as he is, I mean, you don't want to bet everything on somebody who's now missed more football than he's played, but he's healthy now. I mean, and I'd need to do more research. Obviously, the medical team's going to know more, but I'm hoping that one of these guys can play their way into being that dude. And if Jaden Reed's a separator, maybe he fits with Justin Fields, but I'm also obsessed with talking about receivers. I feel like at the end of the day, you're the guy to have on here because the offensive line and the defensive line are going to be where I feel like the Bears are going to keep their eyes.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a high priority for them.
As far as one other Senior Bowl name that I wanted to go through, I know he probably didn't move up your board, but the more you look at him, do you see Keanu Benton as like a similar player to Daron Payne in that he's a nose that can also pressure the passer, or do you feel like he's more of a three tech?
I generally feel like he's more of a three tech. I think he's been painted into a run stuffer role, but I'm not sure that that's really naturally what he is best at.
Wisconsin defensive tackle. Keanu Benton, I should have said.
And I mean, I think he's capable of playing a nose. I don't think he would be the same presence against the run as you get with a Daron Payne there. Mm-hmm. I think you would be best served with him in a three-tech role where you're asking him to one gap and dominate that gap, and he'll stuff the run there, and he'll get some pass rush out of it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to asking him to just carry more responsibility at the nose position.
Is there anybody on either team that you feel like has fit that nose, or that nose tackle, that one tech role, that if Daron Payne, because it's very possible he doesn't make it to the market, doesn't end up a Chicago Bear, that you see somebody here that might be able to fit it, or do you think they'll be looking in NFL free agency?
I think there's some guys in the draft that do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I've seen many guys here.
Makes sense.
That I think can jump in and be that guy for the Bears. But I mean, I'm a huge fan of Jervon Dexter out of Florida. I don't know if the Bears are in a position to be spending a second round pick on a nose tackle, but I think that's where he's going. Like early second round. But there's likely some other guys similar to him that I like that I haven't watched yet, but that is a conversation for a week or two from now.
Absolutely. And that'll be a conversation we have another time, but until then, today, this has been your Senior Bowl Day 2 practice recap with Building the Board. Tomorrow, we'll be back for either a Day 3 practice recap or a Senior Bowl wrap-up, because forecast says rain. So yeah. We'll see if practice happens. If it does, we'll be there. We will brave the elements for you. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please comment or shoot us a DM on Twitter whether you're enjoying the show, what you think of it, what you're looking to hear more from, maybe even players that you want us to take an extra special look at as we really get this project started. Thank you so much. Bear down. And thanks so much for bearing with me.